welcome back to another episode of In the Pen. We're back with the offseason on its way. We've still got the World Series to go, but we're going to be diving into the latest reliever news throughout the offseason, try and get us ready for draft season, try and see who's changing places, who's getting those new jobs, get you ready for this coming season. But as always, I'm joined for this episode and all throughout the offseason with Jay Crumpler and Rick Graham. Guys, how you doing? It's good to be back.
Yeah, it's, you know, great to be back and watching, getting ready for the World Series is coming up today, actually tonight, as of this podcast being released, game one. So excited. I don't think anyone really expected the Phillies Astros matchup, but I think it's going to be actually really entertaining.
Yeah, I'll definitely have to echo those sentiments. The Phillies have been one of the most exciting teams throughout the playoffs. So I'm really pumped to see what Bryce Harper and the rest of those Phillies can do against a juggernaut like the Houston Astros. But I'm pumped to be back for this podcast. It's been a few weeks, but we're ready to jump back into some reliever talk.
Yeah, and I'll be fully not on a very biased service coming World Series. You're listening to us. Let's go Phillies. The Astros just knocked out my Yankees in a very unentertaining four games. Clearly, Astros were the better team. I've got nothing but bad things about the Yankees and good things to say about the Astros, but that's for a different podcast on another network other than this one. Like you said, we're going through all the relays for reliever news. As of course, right now, there isn't too much to add for news. It's been a quiet offseason. Postseason in terms of injuries, but what we wanted to start with these, what we're going to be recording once a month now, we'll have the latest news for you. But for this episode, we want to get ready for the offseason. We want to start looking ahead to those names that are going to be out on the market, those names that could be changing teams in the next couple of weeks, and try and get you ready in the mindset of who still retains their fantasy value, who's going to lose fantasy value, who's got that under the radar potential to take saves if this person goes to a different team. So we'll dive into all the latest impact in terms of that. So unless I'm missing anything in the news, is there any other news you guys want to talk about? Do we want to, you know, we'll end the show too. We'll give a little quick World Series prediction, but is there any news from the postseason you guys think we need to address, or do we want to just dive right into these free agents?
It's hard to take much from the playoffs in terms of usage or performance from relievers. So I would say ignore most of what you see in the World Series and in the playoffs right now. So I think it's sort of just stay focused on what happened during the regular season and where these free agents might end up.
Mm-hmm. I'd say the only thing maybe to take away, and it's probably for another show, but potentially did Josh Hader do enough this postseason to kind of push him back up to being a top 1, 2, 3 closer coming off draft boards next year? But again, probably something to dissect more down the road.
Yeah, and I guess the one bit of news is as a Yankee fan that you guys already know, and everybody knows, Scott Efros was left off the postseason roster for the Yankees with a torn UCL. He will be undergoing Tommy John surgery, and because of that will likely miss all the 2023 season. He was a good under the radar candidate in terms of saves in New York next season. We'll see what they do in the offseason. Do they spend big on one of these free agents? Do they add extra pieces and stick with Clay Holmes? Do they bring back the left-handed reliever whose name I don't want to bring up too many times on this show, who didn't want to even show up for a workout? So I appreciate you guys showing up when we ask you to. I do appreciate that. But so that's the one, I guess, injury that's going to have some impact for next season. But again, we don't know how much of an impact until we see how the Yankees spend their money this offseason. So let's dive right into this reliever crop in terms of free agency. We start off with the cream of the crop, one of the best relievers, if not the best reliever in baseball this past season. And that's Edwin Diaz. We know he's going to be fantasy relevant no matter where he goes. I don't see any really many teams where he can get signed to where he won't have fantasy value. So how do you kind of address this going forward, just in general, and specifically with Edwin Diaz? What kind of what are you keeping an eye on in terms of him for free agency? I know it's not as much, but
yeah, I think he's the one. He might be the only one on this list looking through all the free agents that's he's guaranteed to be closing next year wherever he goes. And I don't think there's any particular, you know, ballpark, division, or anything that's going to potentially limit him, or, you know, make him, make you shy away from him when it comes to, you know, drafting him for fantasy purposes next year. He's definitely, he's probably the best relief pitcher to hit the market in, I don't even know how long. Liam Hendricks, I mean, he's gonna get close to 100 million if he doesn't actually get 100 million. So, yeah, I see the Mets probably trying to retain him, but there's gonna be a lot of teams after him, especially given how kind of weak, or I'd say not weak, but it's just there's a lot of good setup options here for free agents, but not a ton of closers.
Yeah, I completely agree with you on that. I think it's going to be, like you said, he's going to go close wherever he ends up. He may get one of the highest reliever contracts, if not the highest contract for reliever. And like I said, he's still 29 years old, so he's got plenty of bullets left in that arm, and he'll be a very interesting case. So, Rick, I'll turn it over to, or excuse me, Jake, I'll turn it over to you for the next guy on this list who had some save viability, and I think he's going to be a more interesting study because he had his ups and downs throughout the season. What kind of potential do you see for Kenley Jansen on this market? Do you see him? I know it's early. Do we think he'll still have some save viability? Or obviously it depends on where you go, but how do you monitor that?
I think he definitely has to go somewhere where he ends up being a closer. I think not only will teams be looking to sign him as a closer, but I think he'll want to go to a team that sees him as a closer. He's one of the best closers of all time, definitely one of the best of his generation. He's got a ton of saves in his career, and that's putting it lightly. I think that, if he goes to a more analytically inclined team, that, you'll have more confidence in him, and one of those managers that sticks with one closer. So fantasy wise, it depends on what team he goes with, but I think it would be smart for whatever team signs him and for him to prefer to put him in the closer role. I think he's going to be good next year. He had his ups and downs, but you can really attribute some of that to his health. He's had his ups and downs across the past few seasons as well. We know that he dealt with a velocity decline a few years ago, but I think a lot of it has to do with his mechanics and that kind of stuff. So if he can keep that in line, he should be fine. He is getting up there in age. He's 35. This is going to be his age 35 season. So that's pretty much the only thing you're worried about. That's not super old. Relievers, I feel like, can pitch pretty long, and he's not somebody that relies heavily on velocity. I did say that he fell off a little bit because of that decline in velocity, but he's had decline in velocity throughout his career. He's down to 92.2 miles per hour on average with his cutter back in 2018. That was the same. So he used to throw harder and now he doesn't, but he's been able to sort of offset that by relying on other pitches like a slider and a sinker and other different looks like that. So I think no matter where he goes, he's probably going to be put in the closer role, or else, a team's wasting their money on, one of the best closers of his generation.
And Rick, kind of to add on to that, if Kenley Jansen does go, we saw some really strong stuff, a really great back half of the season for Raisel Iglesias after he got traded over to Atlanta. Can you see him just kind of taking over that role in Atlanta? Do you see them kind of spending money on free agency, or do you think Raisel Iglesias can regain the excitement we had for him coming into the 2022 season?
Yeah, I'm kind of hoping that Jansen ends up somewhere else so it opens up that role for Iglesias, because he was really, really good once he got there. I'm sure some people think it's, well, because he's in a setup role, not closing games, a little lower leverage, I guess. But I still believe in the stuff that, Iglesias has. And given what he's making the next, I think it's 3 years, I mean, he is getting paid like a closer. So I would imagine that's kind of the vision the Braves have for him. And with him and Minter at the back end of the bullpen, they're still pretty, pretty good. And perhaps they add one more piece here, but I don't think they need, that's not a need for them to go out and spend on another reliever.
I'm curious too, for the next guy, former Brave kind of transitions, is if he's in the same boat as a Jansen, do we think he still has some bullets left in his arm, and that's Craig Kimbrell. We saw at the end of last season, he got removed from the closer's job for the Dodgers. Do we think that this is the end for Kimbrell, or do we see him, you know, obviously, like I said, a lot of it depends on where we go, but can he latch on somewhere, or do we think that we've seen the end of him as a not only a high-end closer, but just in general, someone we're relying on for saves in fantasy?
I think it comes down to where what he wants to do, I guess, or like where is what's his, you know, goal here? Is it to be a closer and close out games, or does he want to go, you know, maybe join a contender and pitch in the seventh or possibly sixth inning for like a really good, you know, good team with a good bullpen? Because there's certainly, you know, teams where he shouldn't cost a lot this offseason. He's definitely not going to get the contract he just got. It's probably going to be something, you know, 1 or 2 years on probably under $10 million. So there could be a lot of options for him to close as far as, you know, some of these teams that finish the year with, I guess, interim closers. But yeah, I guess it really comes down to Kimbrell. I mean, the skills, I wouldn't say the skills are declining, but there's just he's not able to get the same type of swing and misses that he used to have, and it's mostly a command issue, but you know, he's also getting up there in age, and I guess the book's just out on him, and hitters aren't you know, fooled by him like they once were. So he's definitely, if he ends up being a closer somewhere, no matter where he ends up being a closer, it's not gonna make me take him in the first half probably of closers. He's probably a, you know, 16 through 30 option, but I wouldn't totally be out on him yet. I you never know with closers, especially there was a lot of good relievers this year that came from out of nowhere in their late 30s, you know, David Robertson, Daniel Bard. So wouldn't close the book on Kimbrell just yet, but it's definitely not looking as optimistic as it was heading into last season.
Jake, you got any other differing opinions on that one, or where do you see Kimbrell for 2023?
Yeah, I'm not sure where he ends up, but I'm sure somebody sees something in him still, because sort of in the same boat as Jansen, he's one of the best closers of his generation. He's obviously lost a lot of what he used to have, and I think a lot of that resides in his fastball. His curveball obviously is not as effective as it used to be, but it's still a pretty solid pitch. The fastball, though, has dropped like 2 miles per hour since 2018, so he's definitely not what many would consider a flamethrower in today's game, averaging 95.5 miles per hour on his four seamer. And yeah, like Rick said, he just doesn't get swings and misses anymore. So he sort of relies on getting weak contact and stuff. And with the small sample sizes of relievers, it's really hard to gauge whether or not that strategy is worthwhile, if that strategy is actually effective. So either he's going to have to figure something out, whether that be a new pitch or whether that be throwing the ball in the zone more. I feel like that seemed to be a problem with him when he struggled throughout the season, is that he was just too afraid to put the ball in the zone. Like he lost his confidence or something, which that's another big thing, is just maybe he just needs to be the closer somewhere where the stakes are a lot lower, so he can sort of gain that confidence back and just, you know, pump some fastballs in the zone and drop the curveball in the lower part of the zone and, you know, get that confidence back. And then maybe he gets traded midseason to a contender. Maybe that's something he talks with the team he signs with about, like, hey, if I like get my stuff together, you got to ship me out to a contender. You got to like put me on the wire come trade deadline season. But he's definitely going to have to make a change of some sort. And I don't know if that's going to be repertoire based, stuff based, or if that's going to be, you know, just a mental thing.
That's kind of, I was going to say, that's exactly kind of the idea I had too with Kimbrell, is the, from a team like, I don't know, like say the Nationals, to look at bringing him in for like a 1 year deal, you know, hopefully maybe the lower stake, like the, yeah, lower stakes, you know, he saves 20 games, pitches well, and then you can get something for him at the deadline. Something like that seems like the most sense for Kimbrell next year.
He's a fascinating study in terms of for these relievers, you know, very, like you said, his case is going to be very interesting, because you can almost see some people trying to buy back in just based on track record. But then again, it's you know, like I said, the skills, it's a loss. There's a lot of things that we are not to like about what Kimbrel did last year, but depending on where he goes, you may still end up on your fantasy rosters. And the same can be said, well, if we're talking about these relievers who may have just lost it and be done. We'll bring him up. I don't want to mention too much about him, but Aroldis Chapman, I think he's full on in the same boat as me with that. To me, I don't think he finds himself a closer's role this coming season. Maybe if I'm like the same thing, a Washington or another very not as good team, or if just to try and get some saves there. But from what I saw as a Yankee fan from him, and yeah, you know, I think he's just fully done. Do we see him having any sort of chance to get a closer's role, or do we think even worse things with him?
I'd say never say never, but yeah, I don't think he'd ever. I don't think there's any real situation where they would just outright hand him a closer the job. But you know, I'm sure he'll get some teams saying, "Hey, you know, come here. We'll let you compete for the role," and that might be enough. That's probably the best he's going to get. So yeah, like a team like, you know, Washington, whoever, Miami, like some of those teams that just don't have a set closer right now, they might be intrigued to bring him in. But I can't imagine any like contending team would want to bring him in right away. Maybe trade for him at the deadline if he has a good first half and shows that he's not being such a pain, I guess, and being a good teammate. So I don't know. Yeah, I can't. Again, not someone really to get excited about right now.
Jake, you got anything different, or he's same boat?
I don't know, man. He's just such a great guy. He deserves to be closing somewhere. No, I'm joking. Yeah. He's not somebody that I'm, you know, super excited to see get some millions of dollars this offseason, because I'm sure somebody still sees some talent in his arm. He just doesn't have what he used to have in terms of velocity, which has always been his calling card, and that's even fallen off to a point where he's pretty somewhat pedestrian. I mean, he's 24th in four-seam fastball velocity amongst relievers, but you know, he used to be the best fastball thrower in the game, and he no longer does that. And then you can see that reflected in his production. Just he doesn't throw strikes anymore. He doesn't get strikeouts. He struck out 27% of batters last season and walked 17.5% of them. That's just not really good at all. You can probably get better numbers in those departments from the majority of relievers that are in free agency this year. And if Chapman is looking for somewhat of a higher payday than all those other guys, he may be on the wire for a while, especially with all of his off the field shenanigans, etc., all of his controversies from the past. He might have a tough time finding a place to land, but I'm sure there's going to be a team out there that either thinks they can bring him back to his former glory or can sort of get him ironed out in, you know, his personal matters to sort of turn him around somewhat, or at least have him just be a respectable reliever. But you know, I hope that's not for my team.
Yeah, I'm good. Keep him as far away from my team as possible. I've seen enough of it over the past couple of years, and I'm just over and done with it. But we'll stick with you know, former New York Yankees. I might as well throw this guy out there. We saw David Robertson, you know, save him season with the Chicago Cubs, and he got traded to the Phillies. He was still part of that back end in the bullpen. Has he done enough in your guys' eyes to earn a similar chance, or do you see him going to a more competitive team as more of a setup man role? Do we think he has any you know, further viability for saves, or do we want to, or we think he's more likely to end up in a, you know, setup role?
I think most likely he winds up in a setup role, depending on, I mean, I'm not sure exactly how many, you know, closer spots are exactly open at the moment, but he seems, even though he's done it well this year, and he's really pitched well, and you know, he's going to be a huge factor in the World Series, I'd imagine, with basically being like the third, you know, piece in that bullpen that they rely on. So he's 38. That's a factor, and you know, he doesn't rely on his velocity that much, but still, it's, you know, at some point, you know, everyone kind of hits their peak. So I think he probably winds up as a setup man on a good, you know, a playoff contender, and, you know, with the ability to fill in as a closer if needed. But at this point, I'm guessing he would just be playing to kind of just to win, to find and to try to get another World Series chance.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. And it's just in a similar boat. Not as old, but older, but someone who was dealing with injuries. The last one who we want to dive into for this particular portion was Fantasy Bible. I'll start with you, Jake. Do you see Taylor Rogers? What do you see with him? I mean, he got traded over to Milwaukee as part of the Josh Hader move. Do you think that he kind of takes back over there? Or what do you, you know, where do you expect, what do you expect from him? You think he finds his way back to a fantasy viability?
I think so. I think he's been one of the most underrated relievers over the past few years, and this year didn't really go well after that first amazing couple of months. But I think he's a guy who relies on, you know, called strikes. Rick, that's something Rick always mentions. He's a big called strike machine, and so that helps him produce like really good CSW numbers. He actually had the fifth best overall CSW among relievers last year, so he does have some good underlying metrics, and he's not super old or anything. He'll be entering his age 32 season, so I still think he's got some left in the tank. And as we were talking about before we hit record, there's not really many lefty relievers out there to rely on. It's basically him and some underperforming older guys like Will Smith, Andrew Chafin, and previous mentioned Chapman and Matt Moore. And I think Rogers is going to be the top guy amongst lefty relievers, and that might just net him a really good contract this offseason, because, you know, I think people are going to be super desperate in picking up some guy, a southpaw that can be solid out of the bullpen. But I think he's a guy who's better than the numbers that he put up this last season. He had a 4.76 ERA, and that came with a 3.24 xFIP. So just from those pretty basic numbers, it's pretty easy to tell that he was pretty unlucky. And I think if he's put in the right situation, we know he can handle a closer job. So he may not get that outright closer job like he had in Minnesota prior to this season and in San Diego this past season. So I think it'll be interesting to see where he winds up, but I think he's going to be a pretty key part of whatever bullpen he does end up in, because they'll likely be in dire need of a lefty and will likely not have a set closer. But there is the possibility that he goes to like the Dodgers or something, who finally move like Brusdar Gratterall into the closer role, and then he's sort of just amazing. They just know how to use him perfectly. But I think he's going to be very good next season. It just obviously role is what's highly dependent on how viable he's going to be in fantasy.
It's always worth mentioning too, just how many lefty closers actually are. I don't know why it always works out this way, but we don't see as many of the left-handers. Teams always look for the lefties just to be that, you know, left-hand, obviously not as much anymore, it's a three batter rule, but kind of get the tough lefties out, be the fireman sort of type. We don't see as many in the back end for some reasons. I don't know if any of us really know why it works out this way, but it's definitely more right-handed heavy in terms of closers. There are more righty pitchers in baseball, of course, but we see the lefties kind of, teams hesitant to appoint a lefty closer. I've never fully understood why that's the case, but it's something worth monitoring for someone like Taylor Rogers. Rick, do you have anything more you want to add for that? Or
no? Yeah, you're right. There's a lot of, and I know there's a lot of managers out there who are just like kind of dead set on, nope, we need a righty in that spot. Which, you know, there's been successful left-handed relievers, so I don't quite understand. But yeah, I like Rogers a lot. Especially in this group of left-handed free agent relievers here, there's really not a lot to pick from. I feel like Rogers definitely stands apart from the rest of the group. And, you know, so he's going to be heavily sought after. And I could see, you know, those teams, like you mentioned, the Dodgers, definitely, I feel like they're definitely going to be in. Maybe even the Astros, because, you know, they don't have a lefty after this year if Will Smith ends up being a free agent. So, yeah, I feel like he's going to have a lot of suitors, and he's going to probably get a nice, I feel like he's going to have that contract where we go, he's making that much right now. Like, he's going to be that guy this year.
So that does it for me in terms of at least the main. We're gonna get a little deeper some of the under the radar names. Is there any other like the higher end guys that we just overlooked, or do we want to just get into some of the under the radar names at this point?
I think that there's like an interesting group of these guys with either club options or player options, or you know, Jose Leclerc's got a $6 million club option. He finished the year great as the Rangers closer, and I feel like $6 million makes sense to bring him back. But if he ends up being a free agent, I feel like he becomes a kind of a very interesting second tier closer option for teams in the market, because I've always been a Leclerc fan, and I think, you know, after I think it was the second half of the year, he was really good after the All-Star break. So that's someone to keep an eye on. And then you got the guys in San Diego, Martinez and Suarez both have player options. And they ended up, those two guys ended up being, you know, the Padres two setup guys in the playoffs. So Martinez probably doesn't opt out. He's at $6.5 million. Maybe he does, but Suarez has a $5 million player option. And I think he could at least, you know, get that and probably tack on some years possibly if he were to opt out. And I mean, he is absolutely nasty stuff with his changeup, his fastball changeup combination. That was another great, both those guys, great finds for the Padres coming over from, was the KBO, I believe they were pitching in. So, yeah.
Like you said, those are some interesting names to keep an eye on, especially. I do really like that Leclerc call, actually. That's someone to monitor. We could see, like you said, kind of at tier two of, like, he's got the closer experience. So if you can't get out of one of the bigger arms, you know, do you go for that? And Jake, we'll toss it over to you for this one. Like I said, we covered the guys who have gotten saves. We always see one or two relievers like the Anthony Basses or Dylan Floros, the under-the-radar reliever that we don't expect to be talking about. Is there anybody on in terms of that's going to be out there in the free agent market that we're overlooking, that's kind of an under-the-radar name that has viability in terms of like a lower-end team who's trying to not splurge as much but try and find their closer on a budget?
Definitely. I think I could say something positive about every single reliever on these lists. Maybe that's because I'm optimistic when it comes to relievers, because they can always just have a good season just out of nowhere. So you never really know. It just depends on, you know, what kind of situation they're put in and how they're feeling that year. But I think there's a lot of guys. I think my eyes are drawn to somebody like Michael Fulmer, who is relatively young at going into his age 30 season, has shown that he's good in the past. He's a former Rookie of the Year award winner. So that's a guy that I think is probably going to have lots of interest from teams, whether that be as a setup man on a contender or on, like you're talking about, on a rebuilding team or a middling team that needs a closer. I think he could definitely fill that role because we've seen him do it in the past, and he actually probably still has some potential left in his arm because he really hasn't been a reliever for that many years. So that's a guy that I'm very interested in. We talked a little bit about Corey Knebel before the podcast ran, because he started out the season as a closer. So that's another guy that we know has closer experience. He just sort of needs to be put in the right role and with the right team to get saves and sort of pick up where he started off the first half of the season before falling off and out of that Phillies bullpen. So that's an interesting guy. The guy who I might be most interested in, as much as I love like former Mets like Seth Lugo and Trevor May, I really like Rafael Montero. He was really good this season, especially in the first half, and he sort of carried it over to the second half. He's been lights out in the postseason. He's somewhat of an unknown name, maybe not for bullpen gurus like the three of us, but he's got some really good stuff. I obviously, being on the Astros probably helped him out a little bit to find this next level, but I think he's shown potential in the past as well. He throws pretty hard. He's definitely somebody that I'm interested to see where he winds up, because I think even if he's not outright signed as the closer, if he ends up on a team that doesn't really have a solidified ninth inning job, then I think he could work his way into that pretty quickly if he performs like he did in 2022.
I really like the Montero call. If neither of you guys mentioned him, he's probably going would have been someone I brought up. But he was great when throughout the postseason. He's been very good in the postseason. And during the time when Ryan Presley was out with his injury, the Astros were relying on him heavily in that back end in terms of getting saves. So I could see him as a, you know, earning some looks, kind of in a similar realm, maybe not as high as Jose Leclerc, but a similar realm in terms of a, you know, that tier two sort of reliever where he can get some really good save opportunities. Rick, do you have any other kind of under the radar names that we'll be talking about in March during draft season that we don't expect to be talking about? But
I mean, Jake just kind of took all the interesting ones. But those are all the good. Those are all definitely names to keep an eye on. As far as probably not closers, but like when it comes to holds leagues, Pierce Johnson and Tommy Conley, both free agents, both have, you know, flashed some pretty good ability to be late inning high leverage relievers in the past. And if they, depending on where they land, they could have some value in holds leagues. A guy who I have like no real reason to kind of be interested in based off like any type of metric or anything, but Carlos Estevez is a free agent. Yep. He's finally going to be able to leave Colorado and get to an organization who, I mean, there's a lot of work here, but he's, you know, 97.5 miles per hour on his fastball. So that's something to start with. And then, you know, he's 6'7", 280, huge guy, just throws gas. And, you know, I just wonder if he gets into like the right organization who can kind of, you know, help him tweak some things and, you know, maybe fix his slider a little bit to get it more effective. I mean, the spin rates are low. I wonder, you know, if that's going to be an issue, maybe, you know, something he has to kind of get in the lab and tweak. But, you know, if he fixes the slider, maybe adds, you know, either fixes his changeup or adds a splitter or something, I feel like he could really be kind of an interesting reliever on the right team. But just definitely not someone to, you know, target or look at right now, just someone to keep an eye on. And, you know, Ken Giles too is still, he was really bad this year, but maybe a year removed from Tommy John, and he can help out. He's still only 31. He's going to be 31. So would be interested to see if he could have a nice bounce back year.
You know, him and Ian Kennedy were the two I felt like I was always touting on this show as names to keep an eye on, hoping Ian Kennedy got the job. Ken Giles, I was always saying, oh, keep an eye on him in Seattle. He's still going to get there, and it just never worked out. So I'm hoping for, you know, my sake on this show, that Ken Giles can find himself in the closer conversation come later at some point in the season.
Yeah, I'm with you. I've always been a Giles guy.
Well, it's going to be very interesting. There's a lot of exciting names. I mean, before we wrap it up, Jake, do you have any final thoughts in terms of the guys that Rick brought up? Or
I love the Estevez call. I was literally thinking the same exact thing while Rick was saying it, just like, he doesn't look that good, but you never know what's caused by either playing in Coors or just being in that Rockies organization, which has never been known for player development. So maybe he just gets out of there and just turns into a monster. Rick said he already has a lot of velocity. And so if somebody can add like even another tick on there, he might actually be really good. But yeah, it's not something you want to bet on or bank on at all. And I think there's a lot of interesting guys out there that it's going to be interesting to see where they end up. Most of them are not going to be fantasy relevant. That's usually how relief pitching goes. There's usually about 30 relief pitchers that are fantasy relevant if we're lucky, right? Because it's like not every team's going to have just a closer, and obviously not just all closers are the only ones fantasy relevant. So it's going to be interesting to see where the top guys go, and then the rest of it is sort of just going to be like, I don't know, for the real true baseball fans that are sort of just interested in seeing where every single player ends up, what they look like in their new threads, that kind of stuff. So I'm going to be excited when free agency finally kicks off at the end of the World Series and see where everyone goes. But yeah, I mean, I think we covered it pretty well, and I feel pretty prepared for whatever happens after this exciting World Series this weekend.
And I think that transitions us nicely into getting our World Series predictions out on the record. We like to be right or wrong on this show. So let's we'll wrap it up here. We'll start with you, Rick. Who's winning the World Series? How many games? And since we are a reliever show, we'll make it a little fun. Who pitches the last out? Who's on the mound for the final outs of the World Series?
Ooh, that's a good one.
I know we want... You know, I really do think the Phillies have a good chance in this. I will pick the Phillies because as long I know, I mean, you really just need Nola and Wheeler to, you know, step up and be themselves. And that lineup is a little bit, you know, the Phillies lineup is deeper than the Astros lineup, and I think that can create problems for some of the Astros pitchers. So I'll take the Phillies. I'll take them in six games, and I'm gonna say. Oh, because I don't know. It could be one of three guys who wind up ending the game. I'm going to say it's going to be Jose Alvarado against Kyle Tucker because there's going to be a lefty. I'm going to say he's going to get Kyle Tucker to ground out to end the game. That's how it's going to end. Here to hear first.
I like it. Jake, where are you landing?
So I just recorded a podcast yesterday for one of the other websites I write for, and unfortunately I did choose the Astros. I will be rooting for the Phillies, but I think the Astros are just too well built. They're just such a good all-around team that I think they're going to be able to pull through. I had a bold prediction that they're going to be coming from behind in the series, so I do think it's going to be an interesting series, but I think the Astros are just like such a well-built team from top to bottom that it's going to be hard to overcome that. I think that somebody on the Astros will obviously close it out. as much as I would like it to be Ryan Pressly, I have a feeling that final game probably won't be super close. I want to say it's like Hector Neris or something. So somebody that like people are going to remember as just like, oh yeah, that guy closed it out, but he was never somebody that we really talked about too much. But yeah, sure. I'll go Hector Neris. I think it's a pretty big crapshoot trying to figure that out.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
It's always tough, but I think back to when the Cubs broke their curse. It was it Mark Montgomery? Mike Montgomery won it?
Yeah.
He got the last out. It's always those random relievers at times who get the last outs. I mean, Sergio Romo was a relevant time, but you look back at some of these World Series and it's just like, oh wow, you got the final out, and I'm wondering if this season could be that. But unfortunately, I will also be taking the Astros. Watching them firsthand against my Yankees, they just looked way too hard to beat. It's going to be great. It's like you said, the best way for the Phillies to win the series is you got to win at least two of your Nola and Wheeler starts. You got to have your two aces be your two aces. If you have any sort of struggles there, the back end of that Phillies rotation could have some issues compared to the back end of the Astros one. So I'll go Astros in seven. I think it's going to be a very exciting series. And I think those aces will be aces and make it a lot of fun. I'm actually going to take the guy we kind of just talked about. I'll have a little fun out here. I think Rafael Montero gets the last out of the World Series. I think Ryan Pressly will have to come in like the eighth inning for a fireman type situation where they'll have to turn to Montero to finish the game off. And I'll say it's something like an Alec Bohm ground out to Bregman or something to end the series. But it's going to be extremely exciting. And, you know, as baseball fans, we got the best team in the AL for sure against, we can't say the best team in the NL, but the hottest team in the NL. And they're riding the hot streak. And hopefully we get to see Bryce Harper win a World Series, but we may have to wait a little bit longer for that. So that's actually going to do it for this episode of In the Pen. As always, you can find me on Twitter at @Callen_Elsslager. You'll find the podcast posted on Nick's Twitter at Pitcherless. Rick, Jake, give us where you can find us, find your work. What are you guys going to be working on this offseason for Pitcherless?
Yeah, you can find me at I Am Rick Graham on Twitter, and soon to be, I'll have the top 100 reliever rankings for 2023. The early version should be out in the next week or two.
Yeah, and you can follow me at Jake Crumpler on Twitter. I am going to be pretty active this offseason. Right now I'm locked into covering the Phillies and White Sox in terms of sleepers and busts. So that'll be coming out at some point in the off season. And I'm sure I'm going to be doing a few more things. You'll at least see one or two articles a month from me. So keep on the lookout there at Pitcherless, and, you know, stay tuned into the Pitcherless Podcast Network as well. We've got tons of great podcasts out here.
Yeah. And I already told you can find me on Twitter. I don't know what I'm doing for this off season yet. I'm sure I'll be coming out with some sort of articles. I want to get into keep going with the writing side of it, whether it's ranking sleepers and busts, something like that. I'll be starting working on my own personal ranks throughout the off season, and I'll probably turn that into some sort of article. Maybe reliever centric, may not be. I don't know. I'm still playing it by ear, figuring that out. And as always, I'll wrap it up as I always do. Join the PL Plus Discord if you are interested in talking fantasy baseball with us throughout the off season. Throughout the World Series, anything like that. It's a great community to watch. We've already talked about some of the managerial hirings that have already happened this offseason, some of the openings, a bunch of free agent buzz. I'm sure there's going to be one free agent that people are going to be loving to know where he's going to go, and talking about him off throughout this and trolling me as a New York Yankee fan and the other Yankee fans in our Discord. So we'll see how it goes. But great community of people. You go on pitcherlist.com, click Get PL Plus, and you'll have access to the staff throughout the offseason as you make your important keeper decisions and agonize more about fantasy baseball than we probably should be during the offseason. But we love it, and that's why we're here. So thanks again for tuning into this episode of In the Pen, and we will see you soon when we break down some of the latest news from the offseason.